Episode 289, March 6th, 2017.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
The racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Just got done recording bonus episode number 4. And I say it's another damn good one, Joe Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, if you wanted to chop off the last 4 minutes
where
Robbie tells his story,
I would say when you listen to it, don't eat towards the end. You don't want to be eating when he tells that story.
Sorry, go ahead, Robbie.
I left off a detail in the story. I had to get a stepladder to... I didn't want to wake up my girlfriend, go upstairs and take a shower. So I got a stepladder and I cleaned up in the sink.
Oh, wow. So it's a bathroom story that involves a stepladder. That's
step
a tease.
Ladder.
Become a patron.
You couldn't fit in the sink? You couldn't
get
your ass
I couldn't get my ass high enough.
Okay.
That's what she said.
Hey, Joe, you spelled Bucks wrong in chat.
I did.
It's B-U-C-S, right? Oh, it's... I'm sorry. Is it B-U-C-K-S?
Not, of course.
Buccaneers.
Yes, of course it's... Yeah, come on,
Robbie. Congratulations to Marcus Serta. His run that will last, I'm sure, one season. Well, of the new Arena Football League, the Vermont Bucks, you are the announcer, the MC. What's your job title?
I'm the arena announcer.
Okay. If we guess, will you tell us how much you're getting paid?
Sure, go for it.
Okay. This is a little frame of reference. When I worked for the Washington Capitals, it was now probably 10 years ago, maybe even longer, maybe 12, 13. I would MC contests on the ice during intermission, and then during TV timeouts, 3 to 4 to 5 times a game, I'd do a trivia with someone in the audience. And they paid me $75, and they gave me 2 free tickets to each game to give to friends.
Yeah, but the Capitals are good. I mean, it's cool to get those, right?
Yeah, but I feel like he probably has more duties, Marcus, than I did in terms of announcing every single.
Marcus, what are you going to do if somebody walks up to you and says Vermont Bucks, more like Vermont Socks? What would you say?
Go check out another sport. It doesn't bother me any. It's not.
Oh,
I'm not going to take it.
Sorry
personally.
About that.
I think they're giving them $200 a game.
I say less. I say $100 a game.
I'm going to go more.
You want to just give a number?
Okay.
Yeah, price
we can
right.
Do it. Yeah, 201.
No, about 300.
It's more.
Wow.
500.
Higher.
$1,000.
You're in the ballpark.
This is you're going to retire off this. This is the greatest gig of all time.
This is easy. We go up there. We tell them we'll do it for $500, and we take the gig. It's simple.
Do you have to pass a quiz now, knowing your Vermont Bucks knowledge? Oh, wait, are you going to give us the number? What's the final number?
No, I can't give you that number right now.
Okay. Well, it's impressive. How many games are there?
7 total games.
Okay, so 7 home games.
Yep, 7 home games.
All right, now, how long do you have to be there at each game? When do you have to get there? When
I'll get there about an hour before, and I'll stay there probably about a half an hour past. I'm so there to announce, basically, you know, at the start, here comes the players out. You know, you announce the teams as they come out. And then I'm basically announcing those highlight moments. Then during the breaks, I might be pointing out the fact that there's people on the field that are giving out T-shirts or, you know, there's,
sure, promotional
there's a lost
stuff.
Yeah, there's a lost puppy. Go to Lost and Found. Who knows? Those kinds of things.
Can you slip in a AmeriCast, More Broadcasting Network, Rob and Joe show plug?
It might be possible, but I have yet to see the book of liners. So there is a holy book of liners that I'm going to be given. So there's, you know, if a first down happens, it's the Heritage Ford first down and things of that nature. So maybe I can throw in there, that's your 30-second Rob and Joe timeout. I don't know.
You could do a pretend sponsor.
Yes.
Correct.
Hey, if Donald Trump shows up to do the toin costs, are you going to introduce him as your president?
No. 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 Here comes your asshole in chief, Donald Trump.
He quits. Don't do that the first game. You know, let them get used to you being there. You know what I mean? Don't start screwing around, especially with the coin you say you're making. But at least by game 3, once you're a fixture, you don't think Rex Barney at Memorial Stadium, he could have said whatever he wanted to.
Yeah.
He was an institution. That's what you want to become, Marcus.
As long as it comes off entertaining and energized, I'm not sure that they're going to care much about what I have to say. They just want to make sure that I, as part of the whole experience of arena football, keeps the crowd going, just keeps them jazzed.
All right. Is there anybody on your team that I would have heard of?
I'm looking at the roster right now. Can you name the quarterback, Marcus?
I can't name any of the players at the moment. I know that they have 3 local Vermonters. I know that they have at least a couple ex-NFL players, but I can't name the players at this moment, no.
Well, Rob is the biggest college football fan that I know. I guarantee you there are people on there that he knows. Am I right about that?
Not yet. I mean, I'm not as big a fan as you think that I am. Have you heard
follow it.
Have you heard of Valtre Jackson?
No, I have not.
Well, he went to Harding University. all right, Coastal Carolina.
Is that a high school?
I don't know. Tyrell Brown. He sounds like someone you would know.
So there's nobody that came from like a major D1 school?
No, I see North Carolina State. Of course, it's the kicker, Carl Ohala.
Hey, I actually saw when I was Google image searching for the uniform, I saw that guy. He's already got himself a nice endorsement with some local car dealership.
Good for him. Heritage Ford?
No, conflict of interest, I guess. Yeah, it's a different one. Yeah.
Heritage Ford is the official. It's called Heritage Ford Field. Do you get a car hookup? Do you get a new car?
No, I don't, unfortunately, but I believe that the Bucks did acquire one in the trade.
Is there a big time owner like John Bon Jovi? Doesn't he own the New Jersey franchise?
I think it was Philly.
No, there's no big name associated with this particular team from an ownership standpoint, but there are ex-NFL players who are owners in this league.
Is the biggest celebrity from Vermont, it's Ben and Jerry, right? Nobody's bigger than them.
Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders. Yeah, well, it depends on your point of view. The other person I'd probably throw out there is Robin Ventura, who played at one point for the Montreal Expos AAA team that was here playing many, many moons ago.
Is Robin Ventura is from Vermont?
Santa Maria, California, originally. But he played minor league ball here
count.
In Vermont.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
That doesn't, you know what from means? Hey, Tiger Woods is from Dubai. He plays golf there once a year.
Well,
Alexander Ovechkin is from Washington, D.C.
If you're talking, okay, if you're talking about, you know, grew up, born, raised kind of here.
Yeah, Vermontians, whatever you guys call yourself.
Yeah, it's really, you can't even put Bernie on that list because Bernie's not originally from here. He's from Brooklyn. Ben and Jerry's is, I would say, top of the list, most famous.
All right. Well, let's look it up right now.
Okay.
It's.
Where do you think Marcus is on that list?
Very low.
What are 100. They called, Marcus? Are they Vermontians? What are they called?
Vermonters. Okay. I am technically a Flatlander.
What does that mean?
Right.
It means I'm not from here.
What about Howard Dean?
Previous governor of the state of Vermont, and he ran for president a number of
Trey
years
ago. Trey Anastasio.
Man, this is a shitty state.
He
man.
Is the front man for Phish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. He's probably the guy.
Patrick Leahy. You'd have to be into Phish, and I'm not into Phish.
But even if, I mean, more people know Ben and Jerry than know Trey Anastasio, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, this is pretty bad, dude. Yeah.
Yeah, this Sorry. Is awful, man. Look at here. Good God.
Jesus, what do you get from Maryland or, you know, Virginia?
I don't know, Babe Ruth.
Crappy people down there.
Yeah. Does that count? Well, I can assure you on the bonus show, we spend zero time talking about Vermont or Vermonters. But it is a good show. Check it out, patreon.com/RobinJoe. You can listen to this one. It'll be up in like a week or so, Robbie, we're guessing.
Yeah, I'm trying to have it up this week.
This week. And then you can listen to the other ones, too, if you haven't already signed up. I had...
Is Francis Scott Key famous, by the way? Is he famous? Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman, John Wilkes Booth, Thurgood Marshall. These are just the politicians. Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah, suck it.
What's F. your Scott favorite? Fitzgerald, Billie Holiday. What do you
What's
want?
What's your favorite Francis Scott Key song?
Jim Henson, Larry David. Now Larry David's from he went to school here, but pretty good.
Elaine Bennis.
Where do you fall on that list, Joe?
I'm way down. You're probably way higher up in Vermont than I am. If I went to Vermont, I'd immediately be number two.
Trey Anastasio and Joe Robinson. Hey, I did a show at Top Golf. You know what that is?
I actually do know what Top Golf is, if you can believe that.
It's if you don't
not
know,
playing golf.
It's a fancy driving range, basically, where they have the balls have like a tracking in them. And you're hitting into these targets, and it keeps score. And there's a bar and a restaurant, and it's super nice. This is a fancy driving range. But they wanted to do a comedy night for whatever reason. So I went down to Virginia Beach, and they said it's me and two other comics, who I know. And it's like you play. It's like $45. You play golf, you hit balls for an hour, and then you get a meal, and then you get the show. And they're like, I'm getting concerned because there's constantly new updates. The guy, he emails, said, hey, can you text me? Instead of email, I said, okay. And then he gives me the wrong number. And then we have to figure that out. And then so we can figure that out. Can you give me your tax thing? Yes, I can. Can you come here? And we want to do a walkthrough first. So I'm like, dude, I don't live there. So I don't really know what we need to walk through. I mean, it's just, I don't. What is there to see? He goes, yeah, I guess you'll be right. There's nothing to walk through, by the way. So I get there. I'm the first one there. And I'm like, so how long do you want the show to be? Because they want it to be clean also. No curse words. Okay? I'm headlining. And he goes, you know, whatever the funny bone usually does. I said, okay, well, the show's supposed to start at 7:30. You want it over by like 9? He goes, let me talk to my boss. You make it in by like 10:30. So I said, okay. That's not what the funny bone does. That's, you really want an hour and 15, hour and 30. He goes, well, I thought the opener would do 30. Then I was like, no. So then we do the mic test. The mic's in and out. The show starts. The guy says, hey, can you welcome everybody to the show? Like, as they eat, sit down to eat, welcome people, tell them to eat. Now I'm doing basic, this is where the buffet is. I'm the headliner. I'm announcing the food items. I said, okay. Again, that's not what anybody does. Whatever. So it's literally all couples. I would say 26 to 30 people, all couples. And Travis, the MC, goes out. The mic doesn't work. So now he's using no mic. Okay. So I'll fast forward. It ended up being a really funny show. But this whole idea that we couldn't curse, even though you could tell the audience didn't care.
They couldn't wait for you to curse.
I do my thing about proposals, and I ask these two how they got proposed. He goes, this is a direct quote. Well, we just got done fucking. So, of course, I'm like, ah, we're not even allowed to curse. And you could have said making love, having sex. You went straight for fucking in front of all these strangers. It ended up being like a really an awesome show. But this is how pathetic I am in terms of being in shape. I was actually a little sore from hitting golf balls.
No, that's not doesn't mean you're necessarily out of shape. It's just you're using muscles you're just not accustomed to using. That's why you're sore.
Yeah. I hit the ball pretty well, though. I felt pretty good about myself. Now, this is another Rob's an Idiot story. Ash Wednesday was the day the show was on. I have no idea what that means. I know I've heard of it. No,
I don't know what it means either. You mean what the significance of the... I know it's a Catholic religious holiday, but I don't know, or sacrament or whatever, but I don't know what it is.
So this couple, we're hitting balls, me and the other two comics. This couple joins us. The boss introduces us. I think that they work there or something, that they're like important people.
Can I guess real quick?
Yeah.
Did you like, hey, you got a little something on your head? Did you say that?
In my head, I did.
Oh, well, I thought.
I thought that. I didn't know that was there on purpose. I thought there was some skin issue. I didn't even know that was a thing that people did.
No, it looked. Even if you didn't know what it was, it just looks like you have smudged something on your head. It doesn't look like you have eczema, right?
Well, I'm colorblind, so anything like that.
Oh, yeah.
I literally thought it was a skin dermatology situation. And then she's talking about how they can't order meat, eat meat. I said, I had no idea that was a thing. So I guess I'm not an idiot then. You didn't know about Ash Wednesday either?
Well, I know what it is. I know you're... By the way, I thought you couldn't eat meat on Friday. I thought Wednesday was fine.
Apparently, maybe that's what they gave it for Lent. I don't know.
Oh, I see. And then I know you give up things for Lent.
Yeah.
And I think it's from the beginning of Ash Wednesday till Easter, and you abstain from whatever that is. Now, I don't know why. Are there any good Catholics here? Katie's Catholic. She might know.
Let me ask you guys something. I saw a reporter on one of those satellite interviews where they have a bunch of reporters on the televisions the other day. And one of the reporters, I mean, he had a giant cross in ash across his entire forehead. I mean, I'm like, okay, you want to show you're religious or whatever, but you literally couldn't hear a word the guy was saying. You were so distracted. It was a giant ash cross on his head.
It is distracting.
Oh, Katie's here to tell us what Ash Wednesday is. Come on in, Katie.
This is good radio. Yeah.
You can't hear her. You have to come over here and hear and tell it on the air. Here she comes.
Hey, Katie.
When you burn the palms, like Palm Sunday, and it makes it into ashes, and then they bless you with the ashes on your forehead, and that's the beginning of Lent. You don't eat meat on Ash Wednesday, and then every Friday.
Burning of the palms? What's the meaning of that?
What's the meaning of the burning of the palms? Something about Jesus. She says a long story about
what
Jesus.
Is literally on your forehead, though. what substance is on there?
It's ash.
Yeah.
Burnt palm.
So that's what it literally is.
Yes.
How long do you keep? Do you do it in the morning? Do you do it in the afternoon?
Whenever you do it, you got to leave it on there for a year. No, I'm just kidding.
No, do you go somewhere? Do you go to church and they do it?
Yeah, you go to church. They put it the priest puts it on your head.
Okay. Can you ask for it somewhere else or it has to be there?
I've never seen it anywhere else. Maybe people do get it somewhere else. I don't know.
And would you have sex with Katie?
No, you can't ask.
Ash forehead?
Of course I would. Wouldn't affect me at all.
Whatever.
I probably wouldn't see it if I'm being honest.
All right. Yeah, you probably wouldn't. That's called Ass Wednesday. This is our show, folks.
Episode name.
Yes. Robbie, last week you mentioned you had a new maid coming over and she sprung on you at the last minute to buy cleaning supplies.
That's correct.
Did she survive her first cleaning?
Yeah. What happened? Was there a fight?
No. It's actually three people who show up. And the main guy, the foreman, if you will, he said, it's not a big deal. no worries. Like, he understood, of course, I didn't have the supplies there from the, you know, from the night before. But guess what I did today? I went and bought the supplies.
Now, are they there weekly or biweekly or monthly, or what's the deal?
Once a month.
Okay.
Do you pay them more than Marcus makes to work for the Vermont Bucks?
No, I do not.
Do you think they know any Vermont Bucks players?
I guarantee you they don't even know what arena football is.
I wonder if there's like a small community of cleaners, and one day, by accident, they start talking to Robbie's old cleaning lady.
I'm sure.
Let me ask you, in dead serious, if Robbie's old cleaning lady got a hold of these people and were like, now I got a story for you. And this guy showed up to my house. He waited in my driveway. He tried to rape me or whatever the hell happened. Do you think they would continue to clean Robbie's house? I wouldn't. I'd be like, hey, I'm so sorry. I know we said we'd do it. We're going to clean it one more time, and then that's going to be it. We're not going to do it anymore.
He always wore this shirt about fingering a killer. It was very bizarre.
NRA hat.
Yeah.
No, these people would be back. They would not care.
Can we, is it time to reach out to your old man and get her on the show?
She would definitely not pick up the call, so it's not even worth trying.
Can we have Marcus sort of approach
her? Yeah, why don't you wait outside of her house, Robbie, and ask her in that manner.
With a USB headset and a laptop. Can we get a Vermont Buck on the show, Marcus?
Yeah.
I think we can probably work that out.
Can we get the QB?
I'll see what I can do.
You think they get it? They do well. You go to a bar in Vermont, and they're like, "Yeah, I'm a quarterback of the Bucks." Is that getting them sex? Is that working? You think?
Why wouldn't it? I mean, if you look at these football players, it seems like the ladies like those big, muscular football dudes, right?
Wouldn't know.
Yeah. Have you seen us?
Can they hit those guys in the arena league, Marcus?
Can they hit them?
Yes, I mean, Robbie. You know.
Yes,
like they don't really football.
Yes.
They don't really let them do.
Them. These are like gladiators. They occasionally let women in to kind of do their thing.
Now do they protect the quarterbacks like in the
like
NFL?
Like the NFL does.
You can't hit them in the head or whatever. I don't think there's any rules about
arena football has a lot more action. It's a lot faster. The field is a little bit smaller.
First of all, it's not faster than the NFL. Okay, I don't want you to say that. It's definitely not faster than the greatest athletes that play the sport.
These are the fastest athletes.
Oh, he's saying the game moves. No. He's saying the game moves faster.
Correct.
No, you mean if you watch it
points are scored at a faster rate.
Oh, I got it. Okay. I'll give you.
The pace of the game is faster. The points out on average are significantly higher than you would see in an NFL game.
What percentage of these guys think they're going to end up in the NFL? What do you think?
All of them.
We all know the Kurt Warner story. He went on to be a Hall of Famer, played in the Arena League.
Well, again, I've had lots of great conversations with the coaching staff, and all of them are really trying to not just build a winning team, but they're really trying to build up a team that allows these guys who are playing to launch themselves from playing with the Vermont Bucks to going to the NFL. So they're there to help them propel them into the next stage of their career.
Marcus is earning every penny.
You got it, baby.
Well, I want to see if you can get fullback / linebacker from Maine University, Cabrini Gonkalos. Can you get him? That's who I want.
Mr. Gonkalos.
Yeah.
they go both ways.
The Gonkalos people do.
Are there a lot of players that you see going both ways?
What do you mean?
Wide receiver, D-back.
You need to learn this, Marcus. Going both ways means you play offense and defense.
Oh,
This one says linebacker / Uber driver. I don't think they're doing that
well. Pizza delivery boy, outside linebacker.
Oh, how come you're not on the roster? Are you going to be on the website, Marcus? Your bio for you?
I would assume so at some point, but... We only just agreed to this deal not too long ago, so.
Hey, don't say to any of them, don't quit your day job, because every last one of them has a day job. Don't.
The dance coach and the dancers, they have a page.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. They've been practicing for weeks.
I can.
The dance coach is the fifth most famous guy in Vermont.
I can see why she's the coach. Anyway, let's take a break. Robin Show, be right back.
Hey, it's Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show on 98 Rock. Never forget, my name goes first. I'm taking part in a new live, interactive, hilarious comedy whodunit from the minds of Rob and Joe. It's called The Last Laugh, where I'm the star, as I should be. I play multiple roles. I play a comedian, a real piece of crap, a detective who's not good at his job, a fat girl in a wheelchair, Optimus Prime, and Mr. T's mustache. Come check it out, and maybe, just maybe, you can join us on stage. It's going to be incredible. Come see it.
Next performance, March 12th at the Funny Bone, Richmond, Virginia. Tickets are on sale now. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
You ever meet a too-much information person, a TMI kind of person?
Yeah, Robbie Robinson in the bonus show.
Good example. I'm doing my driving class Sunday, future Gary Spiewak class, and this guy in there got there late, not too late to get in, but he looked in his 60s, looked very not happy to be there. And there's a big portion of me in the class where I'm talking about how your attitude that you have when you get behind the wheel is going to affect your driving. For example, you're angry, you're probably more likely to drive fast, drive aggressive. I say, any other examples? He says, yeah, you're stressed. My wife just died, and last week I had a heart attack. Life's coming at me fast, man.
He said that to you in front of everybody else?
In front of everybody. He says that his wife died, and last week he had a heart attack. Meanwhile, in front of him are two opened and being drunk from 16-ounce bottles of one Mountain Dew and one Dr. Pepper. This is one week after this supposed heart attack. This is what he's drinking at 10:30 in the morning.
So I got a couple issues. First of all, I've never in my life heard of anybody drinking two unique soft drinks at the same time. Never.
Me neither. Never.
Now, when I was a kid, we used to walk up to the, I've talked about this before, in the roller rink, and you'd say, give me a suicide. And then they would take, they'd put a little bit of every drink in the in your drink. Which is the dumbest thing ever because all it tastes like is Dr. Pepper, right? So we used to do that, but that tasted like shit. We just did that because we were dumbass kids. This guy's an adult.
Yeah.
So I have more of a problem with him drinking two uniquely tasting soft drinks at the same time than I do about him announcing the death of his wife in front of a bunch of strangers.
And the whole day, they each got less. So he kept going back and forth, one or the other. It was bizarre.
Can I tell you my biggest problem with the whole story, though?
Oh, God, yeah.
And that's that it sounds like you're taking this job seriously, like you're really teaching. I thought you just played videos. I had a little respect for what you did because I knew you were like, well, all I got to do is put these videos in and go watch games out in the lobby until the video's over.
Well, no.
But it sounds like you're teaching. You're working.
In the beginning, I put on a front, a charade. I mean, there are things I have to talk about. But in the beginning, I come off like I'm serious, like I'm going to be strict. I go through things. If you just saw the first, like, look, sometimes you'll have a DMV auditor will come in and they sit through the beginning and I crush it when they're there. And once they leave, it's a shit show. But I'm good at the beginning because I want to establish, I don't want chaos because I don't want to have to keep getting people yelling and getting out of control.
You ever get heckled in your class, Rob?
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. You know, there's
Robbie had a horrible story where the cops were called. I don't know if you can tell that story.
Gosh, it's a time I could tell. Is it time now to tell that story? I feel like that might be a bonus show story.
Yeah. Make it a bonus show story so you don't get fired.
No, it was. I'll just put it this way. You hear about some kid going into a movie theater or somewhere and blowing people up and shooting people. This was the kind of kid you thought could do that. Anyway, but nothing that was rare. No, I've had people that like they show up late and they have McDonald's in their hand. They're like, yeah, I got stuck in traffic. It's like, dude, you stopped at McDonald's. Like, you're just lying to me. And then by the end of the day, I'll scold them and say you have to leave late. But then I want to leave. So I don't ever make them leave late because now I have to leave, stay late. So I'm kind of a pushover, except for Kerry Spiewak. I will make sure. I will, instead of worrying about failing, this is the time to study. Maybe you ought to do that. Of course, he ends up passing. But it was just like, I kind of almost felt like at the end of the day that everything he was saying was bullshit. I don't even know if that happened. He just seemed like a guy that lied. But you can't say that. Let me see the funeral, you know, the eulogy on online. But it did seem like he was full of shit. Who I don't know. Who drinks that after you had heart attack? Doesn't make sense. Whatever.
Did he pass?
He did pass, barely.
Hey, Katie texted me. I slept with an arena football guy, the Baltimore Mariners. I've never heard of them. She's probably just screwing with me. I'm gonna choose to not believe that. And there we go.
Oh, can we get him on the show? Can we go rather, look at the roster? Guess
I'd which? I'd rather have her dad on the show.
Yes, it's a bonus show plug. Pull up Baltimore Mariners roster. Which one?
Bang. Oh no, it wasn't recently. We've been dating for 3 years.
So, what year? Can you tell her what year?
I think she'll probably get mad that even being discussed this yeah. point where names are being named.
Do the arena guys have long careers?
I don't know. Ask Katie. Oh, you said careers. Sorry. this is a silly show. Anyway, that's my stories about a life in comedy and driving class. We're going down to Richmond this week. We're going to see the Rooters, your favorite people, Marcus. We're doing the murder mystery there on Sunday. I'll be headlining the Thursday with Bert Kreischer Friday and Saturday. Did you talk to your buddy Ken yet, Joe?
I did. He's going to be in Caracas, or he's on vacation somewhere.
What a dick.
But let me ask a question about the Rooters. So the Rooters, what are they, don't like Marcus? Is that what's going on?
We've spoken about this before. I mean, no, they made up, right?
Okay. Because I was going to say, if Laura started bad-mouthing Marcus, we were just talking about this in the bonus show about racism. Would you speak up or would you just let it happen? I mean, no offense to Marcus, who I'm much closer to than the Rooters, but I wouldn't make myself uncomfortable. I'd just let it happen, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, if they're saying something that I know to be untrue or... You know, like if they say Marcus is obnoxious and a douchebag, who might argue? But if they say that he's out cheating on his wife, then I'm like, no, I have seen Marcus. I don't think that he would do that. That's different. But if there's something
objective. What if
they said
that he had slept with someone from the Arena League Baltimore Mariners? Would you believe that?
I mean, I do believe that. I mean, those guys would sleep with anybody. So. What's the 6 degrees of separation to get to someone to get from Marcus to Katie with sex? How many do you have to go? Do you think?
Well,
four.
Let me think. Yeah. I mean, no, I bet you could do 6 degrees. You could get to me in 6 degrees. I'll bet.
Well, Joe, what you don't know is it's actually 1-to-1.
Maybe that's why the Rooters don't like him. He wouldn't bang them. Oh. Yeah. Well, I'm sure you'll come up, Marcus. No, they've never seen this. No, they're awesome people. They've seen me like 6-7 times. I'll hang out with them down there.
Quick plug. Can I give a quick plug? Oh, if you were going to somewhere.
No, go ahead.
Please, for the love of God, can people see the movie Get Out? God, is it a great movie? Please check this. Oh my God, it is so fucking hysterical. Please check this movie out. Anybody. If you don't like it, Marcus will pay you back.
Is it as racist as it appears in the promos?
I mean, it's so over the top. It's, you know what I mean? It's not, you know, you always fear that that's what black people think about white people, that as soon as they leave, we just start nothing but N-words and rebel flags. But it's not quite that. It's not redneck. It's not like old school Southern, you know, redneck hillbilly racism. It's a much different kind, and it's really funny.
It looks awesome. I like the guy Peele that directed it. I want to see it.
Yeah, there's a guy that's doing some comic relief that steals the movie, and it's a really, really great flick, and it's the payoffs are great. Yeah, no, I don't know anybody. It got one person didn't like the movie. It's got a 99% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Did you watch it on your Fire Stick or at the theater?
No, I watched it in the theater because, you know, we had some gift cards. I mean, I'm my days in the theater are numbered. But I just lost my train of thought. What was I going to say before you interrupted me?
Oh, you mean before Katie sent the picture of the guy that she banged?
No,
God,
but
he does
but,
look like a douchebag.
But check it out. She did. She sent a picture of him.
She sent a picture of some mariner. Looks like the kind of guy that would take Katie to the house.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know if that's the guy or not.
My God, look at this guy. He's just shredded.
Man, his number is 10 for every inch. Mm.
She certainly has a type, clearly.
Well, no, not clearly. Have you seen you? You are not.
That was the joke, Dick.
Oh, sorry.
Joke at my own expense.
All Pop. Right. Yeah, I hate when that happens, when I do that all the time. You're right. I take it back. I'm sorry. You're now her type.
Scott Apple did not have his kid.
Okay.
And he's actually excited because that means he can watch The Bachelor tonight.
The one that Robbie is dominating. How many do you have left in the final four or whatever it is now? Three.
Oh, I think I forgot to do my guesses for this week.
Yes. See, this is why Robbie knows reality. There's this girl in it, Corinne. She was clearly not someone anyone is going to marry. She's attractive, obviously, but she's claims to like be some multi-million dollar owner of some company. Really, it's her parents' dad's business, and she just does whatever. She's some spoiled rich girl. Drama queen. Obviously not someone who would win. But when you pick your final four, I actually, because I learned this from Robbie, I'm like, she's a reality goal. The reality show, the producers are going to want her. People are going to want to talk about it. People are going to hate her. They're going to want her on the show as long as possible. And I had her in my final four, as did Robbie. And Tawanda every week was like, that girl's horrible. What are you talking about? There's no way she's going to make it. And there she went. She made it all the way to the final four. So thank you for that, Robbie.
You're welcome.
Was that the only person you had that made it to the final four? Because I think Robbie has Robbie probably. I think Robbie had the final six, five, four, three. He's got them all.
I had two out of four. Not bad.
Pretty good.
My winner is gone. Yeah,
I have zero right now. I stopped guessing because, as soon as you got Robbie, it's almost like, Robbie should have to give up a first round draft pick like the Patriots.
Yeah, for cheating. Yeah.
Yes,
I went
the final two. One of the final two I did not pick in my final four.
Oh my God, you don't have one of the final two? That's crazy. They started with 80. Oh my God, how crazy that you don't have both of the final two. That is hard to believe.
But you're one, right? There's no way you can lose this thing, correct?
I don't know. Like I said, I was totally distracted with murder mystery stuff this weekend. I forgot to do my guesses.
Yeah, speaking
I think
of
Robbie's only 50 points ahead, so there is a possibility the second place person could overtake if Robbie didn't fill out his answers.
This would be a huge upset.
How great
shock
would
the world.
Yeah. Now, is there another week though? After this, it's the last week.
The final show is next week, next Monday.
But will there be another quiz?
Sure.
Because if there is, Robbie will get all of them. You understand?
Yeah, he'll
that.
Step up. He'll focus. He'll nail it. Every question. Does he propose? How many carats is the ring that he bought? He'll nail it. Stupid. Is it a princess cut? He'll just get every single thing right. Remember when we talked about Gramps at the Ram's Head? I guess it was our Sing for Your Life show. The last time
yes,
we were there.
I remember. I can tell you exactly what happened. The story is this. I'm waiting to go on stage to announce that the show has ended. I go, hey, everybody, thanks for coming out. And we start reading names and thanking cast members. Right as the song's getting written, I feel like breath on my, and a tap. My dad's on stage. He's literally walked up there to ask me a question just before I walk on. It's a ramp that goes onto the stage. It's not
right.
Like I'm standing off stage. I am essentially on stage getting ready to close the show. And my father had a question for me at that moment.
Yeah, the only people that are on that ramp ever are performers or people that work there.
No, that's it. And the people that work there are only there at the end cleaning up. It's
right.
It's
exactly.
Only right. Matter of fact, I'll bet you that of people that are not in shows that have stood on that ramp during a show, I mean, you probably count it on you know, on one hand, and Gramps right. is one of them.
And Robbie, you said there's an update to that or something?
Well, we're doing another show at the Rams Head later this month.
March 28th.
And so Gramps knows I'm going to be there in Annapolis for that show, and I'm staying at their house that night. Ah. And so he calls me up. He says, hey, are you going to come by the house before the show? I said, I wasn't really planning on it. I didn't really think about it yet, but probably not. I'm going to be, you know, want to get there as soon as possible. I've never done the sound there before. And he says, well, you know, we're going to eat dinner beforehand. And I said, oh, great. Where are you guys? He goes, you want to join us for dinner? And I said, yeah, maybe. I said, but I usually just grab something quick before a show. He said, I said, where are you going to eat? He says, at the Ram's Head. I'm like, Dad, the reserved seats. How am I going to sit down?
No. There's a restaurant. No, he's right about that. There's a restaurant that's attached.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He's going to eat in the restaurant. Oh, can you imagine if he's somehow busted his way into the while we're getting ready? Yeah, that'd be a nightmare.
He's eating right by the soundboard.
I thought he wanted me to sit down at their table and eat with them. But I said to him, I said, Dad, those seats are reserved. He said, well, I'll buy you a ticket.
No. He's talking about the restaurant that's they ate there the last time. So they ate there.
There's a separate entity. Okay. I didn't.
Yeah. There's a bar restaurant connected to it. Well,
now,
my
of course,
mom.
That does terrify me. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Rob.
No, continue if you're on the ramp.
Well, that terrifies me a little bit. And the biggest thing that terrifies me is, you know, he knows me. And because of that, look at this. My dad, here's how you know that he doesn't remember. It was on the stairs by the stage. There are no stairs, Dad. It's not. It's a ramp. You understand? There's no stairs. But anyway, it doesn't matter. But I am afraid, like at McGoobie's, you know, when, by the way, Robbie's guilty of this too, where there's nobody in there and my family's sitting in there. While, right.
The waitstaff has their meeting. Yeah.
Right. While Andrew Unger, the owner of McGoobie's, is having a meeting there. And he's like, I remember at that time, he goes, who the fuck are those people? And of course, it's my family.
Let's take a break. My mom is considering coming to the murder mystery. I'm terrified. Rob and Josh, I'll be right back.
Hello, my name is Rob Robinson, but you all know me as Gramps. If it weren't for me, there would be no Rob and Joe show. If it weren't for my DNA, you'd be listening to the Rob and Ramin show. Or worse, if I decided to stop at one offspring, you'd probably be listening to the Dan Ninen show. So I'm speaking to you as someone who has provided you with top-notch entertainment for over half a decade. Become a Rob and Joe show patron on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. Do it now so you don't miss out on the premium content and some other great stuff. I did it. So should you. Now back to the Rob and Joe show.
So she, my mom lives in nearby Edgewater.
Yeah, Edgewater. Yeah.
Right. So just 10 minutes away from the Ram's Head. And, you know, she asked me if I'm going to, because she sees, you know, she stalks me online. She sees where I'm going to be at. And I was just at the Ram's Head doing comedy, but she was out of town or something. So she said, are you coming back? And I said, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, doing the murder mystery on the 28th. She goes, I go, yeah, it's an 80s like thing, theme. She goes, is there going to be like a lot of sex jokes? Now, they're literally like none really written in, but there will be. Let's be honest.
Oh, there 100% there will be a lot.
I mean, this is going to be bad for me, right?
Why don't you just tell her yes?
Well, I mean, because if Twanda's there and she's there, they're going to be sitting together. And next, you know, Eric Woodworth is going to be naked next to my mom and girlfriend. It seems weird.
It is strange that your mom would be offended. Like you know, Aunt Tish isn't. She's okay with these shows.
Well, I'm not saying offendedness. It might make her uncomfortable.
Why?
I mean,
She's not conservative politically, but she's a conservative person generally. She's not like a drinker and curse.
Has she seen your stand-up?
Yeah, 16 years ago.
You mean your mother has not seen your stand-up in 16 years?
Well, live, she hasn't.
Does she ever go on to YouTube, watch one of your clips, and say, I really wish you hadn't used that type of language?
Yeah, basically, yes.
She has?
Yes. She has commented that I don't need to be so dirty.
Yeah, it's a bad idea. Yeah. It's a bad idea. Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
But she's always said that I should be a writer. And this, I've, you know, I'm like, hey, I write these murder mysteries. Joe and I write these things.
So here you wrote this one. This one's yours.
Yeah, I would like her. I would like her to come.
Well, then she's gonna meet, you know, Robbie, and Gramps has got a hit on her. We know that's gonna happen.
Gramps can't hit on her. He'll be on stage. He's not gonna have time to walk over to where she is.
But you didn't bother to introduce her the last time, if I recall the story.
No, that was my dad.
Dad, yeah, it's his dad.
No, I'll introduce. She's listening to the podcast. She's listening to the podcast.
A lot more sense to meet your dad than your mom if your mom is someone who's easily offended.
Well, she's not gonna like say anything. She's not like that. It's not her cup of tea. Put it that way.
Well, we want to make sure and point her out to all the actors.
What are the chances of Gramps hitting on her? 1-to-1.
I mean, if I say that if he knows it's my mom, if I introduce her, I'm gonna say who she is to Gramps. So he'll, you know, he's Gramps. He's a charming guy. That's what he does. But he's not. How would he hit on her? Because he can't say, "I see where you get your good looks from," because he doesn't think he'll, because he calls me ugly all the time. So how would he? What would his line be?
He's gonna say, "How did someone so beautiful have such an ugly kid?" Yeah, that's.
I would respect that. All right. Well, maybe that'll happen. What else do we have written down? I feel like there's something else to talk about. Yeah, you got to shout out to Kirk McEwen from 98 Rock. We did a promo video for our 80s murder mystery. It's sort of a little, it's set to the beginning of Let's Go Crazy, Dearly Beloved. And Kirk does the read. It's fantastic. Robbie added some effects and really made the music sound even better. It's a really sharp promo with a few pictures thrown in. Check it out on Die Laughing Productions Facebook page. But thank you to Kirk for kicking ass with that.
And I believe that Kirk is going to, is he going to be a part of the first show? Is he going to actually be in the first show?
There's rumors that we could get him to be there on the 28th. That's March 28th. The Rams head on stage. Justin Schlegel, I'll just say as Ferris Bueller, as the tease, and Kirk McEwen, we'll confirm soon, but it's looking that he will definitely be there and have a role. And we'll be on the radio promoting, at least I will, with Kirk. You'll definitely be on in the morning at some point. But speaking of horror movies and Get Out and being terrified, I had to tell Robbie something that was terrifying today, Joe. We know Robbie is... has put in a lot of work on, there's a lot of sound requirements for this show that I think will be pretty easy to execute once the hard part is done. The actual sound.
Yeah, creating them, yeah.
Yeah, creating them is difficult. Executing it once the show is happening, I don't think it'll be too difficult. But there's a lot of stuff. And I had an idea, without giving too much away, that we were going to basically say who the killer is by giving them each of the suspects a song that identifies who the killer is.
And the song, each song is related to the character.
Yes. And then the reveal, instead of saying the killer is, you know, Steve, the killer is, then that Steve's song will play. And I had an idea of, instead of just playing the song, having a scramble and then the song plays. And Robbie put in like an hour or two of work. And then,
he said 3 hours worth of work to create it.
Well, first both versions.
I'm saying first he did like an hour or two, and we asked if we could shorten, tweak it a little bit, and then he came back and did another hour or two of work, and then I said, I hate the idea, which was my idea. And I didn't tell him that.
Well, Robbie, I heard the comment, and I get it. You know, you got to, like you and I, it is a lot different with Robbie. We've discussed this before. In that you and I, we disagree all the time. I never give it a second thought, but I do understand that the effort behind what Robbie does is a lot greater than, say, the effort of what we do.
Yes.
And because of the effort that he puts in, he's a little more married to it. And then he's also Robbie. So if you factor those two things in, coming to him and telling him that something you don't like, something that was done, it's a hard thing to do. But it is weird because maybe I always think, because Robbie did do this with the Miss Cleo thing. I don't want to get too much away. where he realized what he did, it didn't work.
Yes.
And but, that's a lot easier if he realizes it himself before we tell him, and then he gets pissed.
But the reason what he did with this scramble doesn't work, in my opinion, is not because
it's
because I think the idea is fundamentally flawed.
Well, look at
it was my idea.
How many of the jokes that you tell make it into your act?
What do you mean? You mean
if I think about over the life of my comedy career, I would say maybe 1 in 10 of the jokes that I tried for the first time eventually became a joke that was in my act regularly.
Yeah, that's probably about right. Sure.
And I think that's a ratio that Robbie doesn't understand.
Oh, I get it.
Well, in that case, but you do seem to take that a little bit harder, the criticism, but maybe that's because of the effort, because writing a joke is just a thought.
Yeah.
We don't spend a lot of time, putting pen to paper, doing that.
It's
just
totally proportionate to the amount of effort that I put in. It didn't take me much time to do that Miss Cleo thing, but that scramble was a lot of work.
And you made a point to say how long it took.
That's how I know, 3 hours.
Right. I mean, you definitely wanted me to know that. And we are going to pay you for this, right? Are we, Joe?
No. And I'm not. I didn't whine about it. I just said, okay. I would rather not try to do that again. That was my only point.
Why don't we make Marcus do it?
No, I don't want to do that idea. I want to move on and never do it again. Marcus is, he's super busy, just like Robbie. He's a Vermont Bucks guy now. He can't do this lowly work for us.
Could we do it like the tuning of a radio? You know, like you're tuning a dial on a radio where it's fuzzy. It plays a part of one song fuzzy, plays a part of another song fuzzy. You know what I mean? Would that work?
Well, that was sort of my idea, but again, this is not entertaining because no one knows exactly
what we're talking about.
But no, I think it's just there has to be a clear moment where you know, oh, that's the song. That's the killer. And if that moment, if there's a little, wait, is this real? Is this part of the scramble? If there's a hesitation, then you lose that.
Maybe we should have Robbie work on it for another 3 hours and see what he comes up with.
You imagine if we said that and then we said, no, it's actually getting worse.
We should do a sociological experiment where we just keep telling Robbie that it's not good and go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, like if we were on a prank show, like this is what we would do with Robbie. We would just keep giving him tasks. And then even though he's crushing it, just say, nah, can you work on a little bit more? Until he would eventually just throw something at us.
You know, there's an old story about, what's his name, Mr. President? The guy under Nixon, help me out, the powerful guy, the Secretary of State.
Henry Kissinger.
Jeez, what's the matter with me? Yes. Where he asked the guy to do some work for him, and he came back, and he goes, is this the best you can do? And so he takes it back, works on it some more. He brings it back. He says, is this the best you can do? And he takes it again. Brings it back and he goes, is this the best you can do? And the guy goes, yeah, this is the best I can do. He goes, okay, well, now I'll read it. He hadn't even.
All right, let's wrap this thing up. We just did the bonus show, so we've run out of shit to talk about. Just announced this week, Magoobie's Joke House, April 13th, Back to the 80s, Murder Mystery. Tickets are now on sale. And our Brightbox show has moved to July 1st. So check that out, Back to the 80s as well. Still working on a DC improv show.
Yep, Richmond Funny Bone this Sunday coming up.
This Sunday?
No. Yes. This Sunday, yeah, this Sunday.
This Sunday doing The Last Laugh. Justin will be down there. Tommy, Eric, Sean Gabbert.
Shit. You know what I just thought of? I'm going to Las Vegas the 17th through the 20th, and I fly in Monday night. So I won't be here for Monday night show. On the 20th.
Oh,
is that enough notice?
God.
Is that enough notice? It's the 6th. It's 2 weeks away. Is that enough notice?
You're talking about the 20th of March?
Correct.
Marcus just told me he couldn't do the show. You obviously don't care about Robbie's feelings and the effort that he has to go through to produce one of these shows when we're scheduling, for the next 3 weeks. What are you, nuts?
trying to. I'm trying to think what time I fly in. I might still be able to do it. We'll talk about it, but you might need to move some
stuff around. I am not responsible. I don't have anything to do with that show that night. I'm sorry. That's the opposite. Marcus is the one who's not involved that night. I'm not doing either show on bookending it.
And now you're pissed.
Mother effer!
I know 2 weeks isn't enough because that's the amount of time that I asked Robbie to do the sound at McGoobie's, and he let me know that was
if you
not
didn't
okay.
remember it right now, how long do you think you would have waited until you figured it out?
Jeez, I don't know that I even would have. I don't know when I went home.
No, 2 weeks is fine to let me out of work. It's not good enough to let me make me do work.
Yeah, come on. Now we got to find a co-host. Maybe we can do it on Tuesday. Can we do that possibly?
No, let's just skip it.
What about Eric Woodworth? He loves doing it. Give him a call.
Joe. Well, I do want to. We want to talk about your Vegas trip. But we want it's fresh in your head.
Yeah, we'll
anyway,
talk.
I'll be at the DC Improv that week. Check me out with Godfrey March 16th through the 19th. Another plug. Come see me, and then I'll be back in Virginia Beach, the 29th and the 30th. So come see that as well. Busy March. Good show, guys. Thanks to everyone. Check out the new bonus show. It'll air end of the week. If you're not on board yet, patreon.com/RobinJoeShow. Give us your money. Great shows waiting for you. Thank you.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.